Okay, so today's Vod, we're going to go into Birchus Kriyashma, the beginning of going into the Heichal. Today's Vod is donated by Mr. Lenny Lorkins, Lezecha Nishmas, Chanoch ben Avraham HaKohen. So imagine that you've been invited to the White House and have been told the President would like to speak with you. As you walk towards the Oval Office, it's obvious this is a place of importance and power, at least it used to be. Only those who possess high-level security passes are permitted entry into this section of the building, because this is the domain of the most powerful man on earth. You must feel the seriousness along with a sense of expectation. We feel a sense of awe as we begin saying Birchus Kriyashma, since we are in effect entering the Heichal, sharing the floor with the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach Hazav. This is a restricted area. Only those with a specific purpose are allowed in. Fortunately, we are among those given permission to cross that threshold. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us, corresponding to these three kelim, the organizers of the Tefillah instituted three brachos, Yotzer Ar, Ava Rabba, and Gal Yisrael. The Shulchan, representing the material side of Gal Yisrael, is on the right side, the menorah, the spiritual side, is on the left, and the Mizbeach Hazav, representing Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemaim, is in the middle. Accordingly, the first bracha focuses our attention on the revelation of Hashem in the material universe, as symbolized by the Shulchan. The second bracha tells us about Limud HaTorah, Havanas HaTorah, Ruach Das, Yerushalayim. And then comes Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim, which is represented by the Mizbeach Hazav. Rav Mordechai Potash tells us, based on the Pasuk, Sheva B'yom Hil Alticha, Chazal instituted seven brachos, connected to Kriyashma, three in the morning and four at night. The Torah, quoting the Yerushalmi, says that fulfilling this mandate of Sheva B'yom Hil Alticha is akin to learning Torah day and night. The Derech Hashem explains that there are two aspects to Hashem recreating this world on a daily basis. One aspect is that Hashem provides the world with the ability to exist new every day. The second aspect is that each new day is a new unit of creation. Hashem creates a world that's unique to that day, a world that can reach perfection in a way that it could not the day before or the day after. The Derech Hashem adds that creation was divided into two categories. One, all of the creations, both the upper and lower worlds, and the second one is Klal Yisrael, who devote themselves to the service of Hashem. The brachas of Kriyashma are arranged in an order that proceeds from general to more specific. In the first bracha, we praise Hashem for all his creations, the celestial beings, the earthly creatures, day and night, sun and moon, the galaxies and stars. We also thank Hashem for the fact that each being functions properly and fulfills its mission efficiently. In the second bracha, we thank Hashem for his kindness to Klal Yisrael, specifically for the love that he shows us and for choosing us as his servants. Introduction to Yotzer Ar. So as we begin the Birchus Kriyashma, we note there are two main themes that run through this part of davening. The first is light, as the bracha says, Yotzer Ar, and ends with Yotzer HaMaoros. The second theme is renewal, as it says, V'tuvo Mechadish V'chayim Tamid, and then it also says, Ar Chodosh Al Tzion Toyer. What's the connection between light and renewal? So Rabbi Spiro explains that we're in the Heichal again with the Shulchan, Menorah, and Mizbeach Hazav. And one might think, he says that the Ar refers to Menorah, which has the fires, the candles. But that's not so. Chazal tells us this bracha also refers to the Shulchan. How so? So we say, Mechadish V'chol Yom Tamid. This concept of renewal actually connects well to the Shulchan, upon which the Lechem Apanim was stacked and displayed. The Lechem Apanim remained fresh day after day. This may be seen as an allusion to the way Hashem runs the world. He constantly sustains and refreshes it. When the world was created by Hashem, he created light and darkness. Hashem hid the original light as he saw the world was not fit for it, and he hid it for the tzaddikim in the future. Nevertheless, there are times that this aragonas, this hidden light, can be found, and the Lashem explains that the Hashem hid the light inside the neshama, the soul of each and every one of us. And there it waits to be discovered. So the bracha is referring to the Lechem Aponim, which was a testimony to Hashem's constant presence in the Beis HaMikdash, and to the light of Hashem's presence, which is always within our reach. So we start Yotzer Ar, and we start with Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah rules that Baruch Hu is considered part of the bracha of Yotzer Ar. Therefore, after responding to Baruch Hu, we're in the middle of a parak, a chapter, and only interruptions that would be permissible in the middle of a parak are allowed at this point. And I believe it's the same thing by Maariv, that once we answer Baruch Hu, we're in the middle of a parak, and that's why, even if you didn't start davening yet, you're no longer allowed to speak anymore, because you're already in the parak of the first bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that Baruch Hu Hashem is the Shliach Tzibur's command to the Tzibur to come praise Hashem with the bracha of Yotzer that follows. The Karakemach writes that the adjective Hamavarach, the praise, means that Hashem is praised by all his creations. All these creations praise Hashem and show reverence toward him in appreciation of having been created from nothing, from Yesh Me'ayin, and they beg him to provide their needs for them. The Bir Halacha traces the source of the custom of bowing while reciting Baruch Hu to the Pasuk of Ayom David Uchal Kohol, Baruch Hu Nas Alokechem, Vivaruch Hu Kol Kol, Hashem Alkei Avusechem, V'yiktu V'yishtachavu, L'Hashem V'lamelech. So we start, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Alkeinu Melech Olam. Since this bracha opens a new section of davening, it opens with Baruch Atah Hashem. Then we say Yotzer'er, Baruch Hoshech, Hoshishon V'yetz HaKol. Rav Shimon Schwab says, since this bracha is said in the morning, we mention light before darkness, while at night we do the opposite and mention darkness before light. The reason we mention both light and darkness is because the Gemara says, Lahaski midas yom b'layla midas layla b'yom. This does not only refer to the physical aspect of sunrise and sunset, but midas ayom symbolizes midas harachamim, and midas layla symbolizes midas adin. And Chazal tell us, Rishayim b'chayim, chashuvim kemesim, neshirom chamas arachas, ve'enim avarchim yotzer'er, v'chamas shokas, ve'enim avarchim arvarovim. The wicked are considered dead even during their lifetime, because they see the continuous cycle of sunrise and sunset, light and darkness, and yet they do not bless Hashem for creating the cycle. These people consider the cycle as merely a predictable statistic. They give no thought to the Yotzer of this Or. These Rishayim are considered dead because they fail to see Hashem at work. They feel it has nothing to do with them personally. Klal Yisrael is alive and recognizes that Hashem is the cause of the daily cycles of light and darkness. Despite the fact that we know exactly when to expect sunrise and sunset, this miraculous cycle affects each one of us personally to the extent that we enthusiastically thank Hashem for it daily with this bracha, as if it was the first time we witnessed this marvel. The Gemara tells us the text of this bracha comes from a pasuk in Yeshayah of Yotzer'er v'ari choshech, osashon v'ari ra, ani Hashem osa kol eila. And the Gemara explains in formulating the bracha, Chazal did not want to mention openly the uvari ra, preferring the more positive expression of borei es hakol, which includes evil. The Aruch HaShulchan explains about the pasuk and the bracha are designed to detract from the theory of the polytheists, who believe that there is one force responsible for all good in the world and another responsible for all evil. In Yeshayahu states the Torah view that Hashem created everything. He created light and darkness and makes peace between them. Each one has its time to act in the world. Hashem also created evil to allow humans the bechira, so that they will be worthy of reward of choosing good. Rav Mordechai Potash explains perhaps the reason that this idea is mentioned here is because Berachos Kriyat Shema are an introduction build-up towards Kriyat Shema, in which we affirm our belief in Hashem's oneness and His sovereignty. So in this bracha, we strengthen our belief in the oneness of Hashem by affirming that as the one and only God, Hashem created all that exists in the world, even aspects of creation that seem to be the exact opposites and should naturally compete with each other for control mutually exist in perfect harmony. This attests to the fact that they were both created for the purpose of serving the one who created them, which is why they can coexist as long as they both strive to serve Him. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us this concept that Hashem created evil, it's not easy to understand. He says it's very hard, even for one who believes B'Emunah Shleimah, to imagine that it's Hashem who empowered the Nazis Yimach Shemam to inflict severe torture, pain, and murder on Klal Yisrael, or the Arabs with their constant bombings in Eretz Yisrael. How is it possible the same Hashem who gives us life and makes the sun shine can also be Borei Ra? And he explains the answer to this age-old question has not been revealed to us. This secret remains with Hashem only, at least in this world, in which He has revealed to us only segments of His creation, but not the totality of it. The answer to this question is not part of His revelation to the human world. While we do not understand this, we still believe in Emunah Shleimah that it is the same Hashem Echad, who created everything, be it good or bad. However, Lasad Lavai, we will understand all of this, as the Gemara says, Lo bol mazeh olam haba, Ba'olam hazeh al b'suris tovos omer baruch ha-tov ha-meitiv, v'al b'suris ros omer baruch dayin ha-emes, however olam haba kula ha-tov ha-meitiv. That now, for good we make ha-tov ha-meitiv, for things that seem bad we say dayin ha-emes, but at that time, even things that we consider bad or unfortunate in this world will be clearly understood as then being kula tov, and we say ha-tov ha-meitiv. In summary, so the meaning of the bracha is Yotzer'er forms light, uvari choshech, after He created darkness, which is the background for the light to be perceived, then Osa Shalom v'Esa Kol, He makes harmony between the two. We go in Amei Laris v'Adarim Alav Rachamim, the illumination of the earth, for itself and for the benefit of all human, animal, plant life which inhabit it is described as coming from the Midas HaRachman of Hashem. This is so because the exact position of the sun vis-a-vis the earth is critical to life on it, and is therefore a manifestation of his Midas HaRachman. Were the sun closer to earth, its heat would scorch everything, and if it were any further, everything on the planet would freeze. Life would not be possible either way. Life on earth is therefore dependent on Midas HaRachman. We say, Uvetuva Mechadish Chaim Tamin Masiv Reishis, the thought of Midas HaRachman is continued here. With Uvetuvo, the entire creation is an act of Tov by Hashem. One tends to take the daily recurring cycle of sunrise and sunset for granted. However, upon reflection, we must know that the fact that Hashem made the earth rotate on its axis today does not mean that it will necessarily do so tomorrow. Hashem is not compelled by what he created. So we say to Hashem that we see that the sun rise again, we recognize that this is not an automatic natural phenomenon. But Uvetuvo, he renews his creation daily. And since the time of sunrise varies as the earth rotates, this daily reenactment of Maaseh Bereishis is tamid, a constant and continuing process of creation. We then say, Morabu Maaseh Hashem Kol Mechachma Sisa. The word Asisa means that you have finished it, the way in which your creations present themselves to us. The more we study nature, the more we discover the enormous intelligence behind it. We see that nature is not chaotic, but that each and every aspect of it follows its own set of rules and laws by which it exists. Mala ha'aretz kinyanecha. This is normally translated as the earth is filled with your possessions. However, the word kinyan is not an act one does to acquire something. Is an act that one does to acquire something. And there are many ways to make a kinyan. Hagbal lifting, meshicha pulling, kesef paying for it. All these acts are proof of possession. So similarly, we're saying here the world is filled with proofs of your possession. A non-believer will study nature and explain that a result of many accidents, coincidences, random developments, the world as we know it came into existence, which they call the Big Bang Theory. However, the believer looks at the same world and says, the entire world is filled with proofs of your ownership. When one studies any aspect of nature, he sees that mala haaretz kinyanecha, the proofs of Hashem's ownership are clearly evident throughout the universe. Rav Yerucham Levavitz would say that just as one is impressed by a loud crashing clap of thunder, and consequently trembles while saying the bracha of Shekocha, Gvrasa, Moliolom, so should one also tremble and be awe-inspired when making the same bracha, making the bracha of Shakol Niyabidvaro, before drinking a glass of water. The creation of water is just as much a result of the strength and power of Hashem as is thunder or lightning. We need not wait for something extraordinary to happen to us to be inspired by the great intelligence behind creation. But rather we should see Morabu Maasecha Hashem even in the smallest particle of nature. If Joseph Breuer used to say that when he saw a simple daisy, he felt Morabu Maasecha Hashem. Hamelach Amromum Levada Meyaz Meshuba Meforum Esnasim Os Olam. This is the introductory sentence, refers to the Kabbalistic concept of the four worlds of creation. Olam Atzilus, Olam Habriya, Olam HaYitzira, and Olam HaAsiya. El Keolam Rachmecha Rabim Rachim Aleinu. Now we focus on the world in which we find ourselves, Olam Hazeh, for whatever time period Hashem has allotted to us. Appropriately, during the morning, the time of sunrise, which is the manifestation of the Midas HaRachamim, we appeal to Hashem, the God of this world, to have mercy upon us. Rachmecha Rabim, with the great compassion you have shown by allowing us to awaken and live another day, Rachem Aleinu, have mercy on us during our entire lifetime. Adayinu Zeinu, Tzur Miskabeinu, to the word Miskav, which really means a tower strength, and we've mentioned this in the past, is a combination of Sagi strong and Gavoa high. Magen Yishenu Miska Badenu, so in the Siddur Agrot says these four phrases refer to four stages of a person's life during which one is in the need of mercy of Hashem. Adonu Zeinu refers to infancy. A human being, unlike an animal, is born totally helpless. If its mother would not pay attention to it, it could not survive. A young child lacks immunities to illness, and thus is very vulnerable to disease. If one survives infancy, despite all of these weaknesses, it's only because Hashem has been the Lord of our strength, the one who has given us oz, the resistance against the overwhelming forces which could destroy a helpless human life in infancy. Tzur Miskabeinu, then we progress to the childhood and adolescence, the time when one grows up. Having developed from a tiny infant to a young person, we laud Hashem as the rock upon which our tower of strength, our physical bodies have developed, until we become mature people. Magen Yishenu, this refers to the mature manhood or womanhood. During this time, Hashem serves as a shield, which saves us. We may not even be aware of the dangers from which He has shielded us during the period of our lives. It is a time when we are raising our families in a world filled with manifold dangers, which could shorten our lives and interfere with our health and livelihood and that of our families. If despite these dangers we survive through this period into old age, it's only because Hashem is Mogen Yishenu. Miska Badenu, if Hashem allows us to reach old age, He is our stronghold, which provides the strength to continue to live on despite our frailties and weaknesses of advanced age. So, due to Purim coming, instead of a story, we'll do a couple shmuzin from our Shiva. And again, we mentioned last year Purim is a day of tefillah, a day that Hashem listens to us. You know, just as anyone who reaches out their hand for tzedakah, we have to give without checking who if they deserve or not. Hashem listens to our tefillah in the same fashion. So it says, V'yashiv Mordechai al Shar HaMelech. So we know Haman and Ahasuerus sent out the decree. It's the final solution. And Mordechai, we know, put on the sackcloth, cried out to Hashem, and you can only imagine that urgency. And that was it. There was no one else to turn to but Hashem. But yet the tide begins to turn. A sleepless Ahasuerus, Mordechai is reminded of Mordechai's deed. Haman, of all people, is forth to bathe, groom, dress, parade him, takes him through the streets, has to announce how great Mordechai is. Mordechai's fortune, Klal Yisrael, we seem to be on the rise. Even Zeresh tells Haman, once you begin to fall, you're surely going to fall. The tables have turned. What's Mordechai's reaction? The Pasuk tells us he went back to the king's gate, which the Medrash says. He didn't become secure in this, and he did not lower the intensity of his tefillos to Hashem. So Rishiva asked, can a person, when you see the clear signs of victory, you see Hashem's intervention, could you still maintain that same feeling of depression, desperation, the pain that you were previously feeling while in the darkest and bleakest moments of life? It's the natural tendency of a person that when things seem to be in the bag, to feel secure, to relax. Does a sick person, you know, pour out his heart in supplication even after the cure has been found? So from Mordechai's approach, from his conduct, we see the proper way to daven. No matter how secure we seem, no matter how healthy, successful, strong, blessed, we feel due to our bounty, Hashem showers upon us, we need to never feel any different than the one who's completely desolate and destitute. We always have to show that appreciation and happiness that for every second of Hashem's kindness and compassion, but not take it for granted, even the breath of life itself. And it was Mordechai's understanding that allowed him, enabled him, to return to the same tefillah with that same fervor and urgency. And it's not an artificial mindset to enhance our tefillahs. It's reality. At any moment, we know we can lose the gifts that were granted, that we assume were granted forever. And it's only our faith in the continual flow of Hashem's mercy that the kindness which we get will continue to be given to us. So that's one. Then earlier in the Megillah it says, Kenosis kol Yehudim v'tzumulai shloses yomim. So in the preparation for going into Ahasuerus, Esther and everyone fasted and davened for 3 days. In Esther's tefillah, she said, Hashem, save ye maidservant. I was left an orphan without a father or mother, destitute, begging from door to door. Now Hashem grant success to your impoverished maidservant and rescue your flock from this enemy. Father of orphans, please stand beside this orphan and trust in your compassion. So in the midst of Esther's tefillah for Klal Yisrael, she recalls her old days, the bleak, desolate days of being an orphan. And she remembers how she trusted in Hashem alone. So why is she mentioned this here? What significance does Esther's childhood suffering have? She's now no longer a poor orphan. She's the king of the world's mightiest empire. So how could she refer to herself as an impoverished orphan? So Rishiva explains that she wasn't remembering her youth. She was remembering the feelings of loneliness and poverty when she had no one to turn to. And in that way, we're all impoverished orphans. We're all dependent on Hashem's kindness. As we say in the Yom Nerayim, we come as paupers and beggars, we knock on your door. So Esther drew on that pain to heighten this feeling, to relive and re-experience that close relationship to Hashem. And with that, she was helped to daven to him with a great depth and total trust for his Yeshua. Had there been any feeling of security or trust in flesh and blood in her heart, the tefillah would have never been the same. Only a feeling of complete abandonment by mankind, only the knowledge that Hashem was the only one who would hear her tefillah, enabled her to reach such a level. And we all have these times in life, the dark hours of illness, sorrow, loneliness. And at those times, we understood quite clearly that Hashem is really the one who controls our destiny, and we really cry out to him. Unfortunately, however, after these moments pass, we lose that feeling of that total dependency on Hashem. We rely on our financial assets, other people. Worst of all, we feel that we don't need anyone's help. We have our own strength and wisdom. But if we follow the example set by Esther Amalka, and we can recall those bleak moments and how we trust in Hashem alone, we can reach out and it without tefillah and get the Yeshua that we're looking for, just as Esther Hamalka did, and the same thing with Mordechai, the way he went back to the tefillah even in the good times. So we have to always remember that if we daven, especially on Purim again, Tainus Esther, Purim, this whole weekend, if we daven properly and reach back and think of those moments to inspire us, and even, you know, daven for the things that we have, not to lose them, with that same fervor, and we'll be zocha to have our tefillos answered by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we'll be zocha to the Bias Gol Mashiach, and for all other good that we are looking for. And obviously the homework is to work on the first Baruch of Kriyat Shema up to this point where we stop, as we will then continue with it, Be'ez Hashem, the week after Purim.